Are you interested in getting involved in the Brisbane property market? Well, today's episode of the Michael Liardi podcast is just for you. Now, even if you're not interested in getting involved in the Brisbane property market, considering each state, each city, each territory has its own nuances, the messages you're going to learn from my business partner, Brett Warren, today, as he explains 10 things you must know about investing in Brisbane, will be really useful for you to understand and change and translate for wherever you're looking to invest. Clearly, the Brisbane property market hasn't suffered as much as the big capital cities of Melbourne and Sydney during the challenges of COVID. Interestingly, it didn't suffer as much pre the federal election a couple of years ago when Melbourne and Sydney went down as well. But there isn't one Brisbane property market, there isn't one Melbourne or Sydney or Australian property market. So let's get a better understanding of what's going on so you'll be able to be a more informed property investor. Welcome to today's episode of the Michael Liardi podcast. And after my chat with Brett, I'm going to explain to you in my mindset message about a number of things you can control and others that you can't control, so you may as well let go.
Welcome to the Michael Liardi podcast, where twice each week you will learn a number of new ideas regarding success, property investment, and money in around 30 minutes. Our show is brought to you by Metropole, who specialise in helping you grow, protect and pass on your wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. Now here's your host, Michael Liardi, Australia's most trusted property commentator, who has once again been voted Australia's leading property investment advisor. That's the fifth time he's won a similar award in the last 7 years.
Are you interested in getting involved in Brisbane property? It seems like more investors are wondering whether it's finally going to be Brisbane's time in the sun. So in today's episode of the Michael Liardi podcast, I chat with my business partner, Brett Warren, who's going to explain 10 things you must know about investing in Brisbane. And even if you're not planning to invest in Brisbane, the information we're going to share with you today will be valuable for you to understand what's happening in other states as well. So who better to chat with than Brett Warren, a National Director of Metropole based in Brisbane. Welcome, Brett.
Hi, Michael. How are you going?
Great, thank you. Now, understandably, the coronavirus crisis is creating uncertainty for those interested in investing in real estate anywhere, but also in Brisbane. Now, prior to COVID-19, the Brisbane market was expected to deliver really strong growth in 2020. But now, like most Australian markets, Queensland's got its own challenges. So what's going on? Is it a good time to buy? Before we discuss that, maybe we should just ask why you? What qualifies you to explain these things about Brisbane?
That's probably a good place to start, Michael. I think one of my favourite sayings from yours is that there's, 25 million property experts in Australia. So what separates me from the other 24,999? Look, I guess I've been lucky enough to be buying in the Brisbane market for well over a decade now for our clients. I started off as a buyer's agent in the market and obviously working for our clients over the first 4 or 5 years, and lucky enough to work through to become a strategist and now a director, and lucky to be your business partner here in Brisbane. There's a decade of experience there, but I'm also a property investor myself, and I've been investing in property for close to 2 decades. So I think it's really important time to be learning from people who have been doing this, not just for years, but you know, for decades. So I like to think I'm probably one step ahead of the other people out there, I guess.
I agree with you too. So how has COVID affected the Brisbane property markets?
We had a really strong start to the year, as I think most of Australia did. The market was quite strong. Open homes were really strong. We were probably missing out on more properties than ever before because there's a lot more buyer competition, and there was a really good feeling, a really good vibe. There's a lot of infrastructure and a lot of good things happening in Brisbane, but obviously we've had to hit the pause button, and things have really kind of slowed a little bit, I guess, since those times. But you know, the market's still reasonably strong. It hasn't dropped like all people are saying, and I guess in some areas it will, but in the good, well-located, investment-grade locations, it's holding its own.
Sure. Well, I guess we've got to be clear, there isn't just one Brisbane property market, and that's one of the things we're going to be mentioning shortly anyway. But I think the other thing we should probably point out is we're not talking about Queensland, are we?
No, that's right. It's a really good point to distinguish because even within certain markets, there's different markets and different suburbs performing differently. But I guess what we're talking about is well-located areas within, say, around 10 kilometres from Brisbane, where there's a lot of jobs being created still, And there's also a lack of supply. There's no new available land. It's in the outer areas where there's 10 years supply of land, there's going to be some issues, but that's the opposite within Brisbane.
Well, some people would be wondering, why Brisbane? Because isn't Brisbane very exposed to tourism? Isn't it exposed to the Chinese tourists coming and education as well? How's that affecting the market?
Yeah, you're completely right. Particularly in the past, there's been a lot around the mining, which we've had issues with tourism, particularly to the north of our state. But the Brisbane economy is really starting to mature, and that's being led by different jobs. They're transitioning into more services-based. There's about 50,000 jobs between the CBD and the airport. So the economy is really starting to transition. There are still pillars of mining and tourism, but they're starting to be bolstered and supported in the better locations. And unfortunately, the outer areas in Brisbane and also Queensland will be more affected by the tourism, the mining and things like that.
Well, regional Queensland will be. Gold Coast, Sunshine Coast is going to be as well. Once the borders open up, I can see that Brisbane will bounce back, and when immigration opens up again, it'll bounce back as well. But let's have a look at what we should understand about investing in Brisbane, because I think one of the mistakes you and I have seen over the last couple of decades working together is that people come from other states and they try and bring their local knowledge, how they would invest, how they would live in some of the other states, to Brisbane, and it doesn't really work that way, does it?
No, it's a very, very different market. So yeah, look, probably a good time to understand, if you are considering buying up this way, what the differences are. So we've put together a list of a few different things. And as I kind of pointed out at the start, the first place I would be starting would be where those new jobs are being created. If you follow the equation that more jobs leads to more demand for accommodation and housing, then it makes sense to understand where the jobs are being created. And I'm not just talking about a new hospital or a university that might create 200 or 300 jobs in a regional location. I'm talking about 50,000 plus jobs around the CBD and the airport precinct, so 0 to 5 kilometres. So that's where you need to be. You need to be getting into those superior locations where demand's going to continue to be strong, but there's also a very severe lack of supply in the right type of property.
I think it's also important to understand what sort of jobs. So I think we've realised in the recent downturn, but in previous downturns as well, that some industries are more stable and others are more seasonal or more fickle, Brett.
Certainly. I think it's a great opportunity now to understand that too, aren't we? I mean, there's a lot of people that unfortunately their type of work won't allow them to work from home in these types of situations, and those kind of areas probably struggle a little bit. And luckily, the areas within the areas we're talking about, people can work from home, they can reduce their hours and things like that and still have an income moving forward.
Now, one of the things you keep mentioning is 7, 10 kilometres ring from the CBD. That's very different to Melbourne or Sydney, where you're just getting out of the inner ring to the middle ring suburbs. But Brisbane's different to that.
Certainly is. And that's where a lot of the interstate buyers, and particularly the guys we like to call the FIFO buyers agents, who fly in and fly out of a weekend, they don't really have any perspective of what's happening on ground level. And a lot of people, the argument is that, you know, if they're buying 15 or 20 kilometres out, that the suburbs and the area will catch up. But we're just not seeing that, unfortunately. Brisbane's not as mature as a Melbourne or a Sydney market. It's probably still another 10 or 15 years away. So, look, they may be right in 10 or 15 years, but certainly in the short term, Michael, we've got to get that location right. It's going to make a huge difference. And there's a lot of difference in those economies and in the maturity of those markets that Brisbane just aren't there yet. So that's one thing to be very aware of.
I think the other thing is the jobs we're chasing are the higher paying jobs where people can afford to and are going to be prepared to pay to live in those better areas, because public transport's pretty important around getting around Brisbane at the moment too, isn't it?
Yes, it is. One interesting thing over the last decade is Brisbane's actually been quite proactive. We've built a couple of tunnels and things like that. So we've taken a lot of the heavy traffic off the surface, but there was a great article recently just explaining that that's now come to an end and we're kind of back to where we were 7 or 8 years ago. They're predicting another 500,000 cars on the road. So incredibly important you get that public transport thing right. And again, harping back to the location, if you're buying within that 10 or 11 kilometre ring we're talking about, there's an 80% chance you'll have some kind of public transport there, where if you're going past 15 or 20 Ks, there's only about a 20 to 25% chance you'll have some form of public transport. So people aren't going to want to wait in traffic longer and longer and longer. And we all know that the trends tend to stay around inner city suburbs and public transport areas.
Well, you can listen to the Michael Yardney podcast while sitting in the car for so long, but people are getting impatient, and I think they're going to be more so after working from home for a while. So I guess the first lesson is don't take the way you live in other states if you go across to Brisbane and assume it's the same there. What about schools? They're very important in other states. How important is being in a good school catchment in Brisbane?
Yeah, it's hugely important. We spoke before a little bit about the need to find a job. Well, once people have found the job, then they're looking to set up their family. So school catchments become very important. Most of the demographic that are moving here are young families with good incomes, and they're wanting to get their kids into good schools. So that's important to understand. But it's not just a particular suburb. There's actually specific catchments. And, you know, in some cases we've seen between $50,000 and $100,000 difference just between one side of the road to the other because you're in the particular school catchment. And I don't see that changing. All the good schools are located within the 5 to 10 kilometre ring as well, and that's where that demand's going to continue moving forward.
I guess not all schools are created equal either. So how would I know if I'm an outsider? You need inside knowledge.
You need inside knowledge. You need on-the-ground perspective and, you know, I guess understanding where the high-demand schools are and the better results are with schools, and that's what young families are wanting.
Well, what about having a backyard and a front yard and more space in a pool? Queensland, you live differently. Shouldn't I just go to tree change or sea change and just move further out?
Well, that's one thing we've discovered as well, isn't it, Michael, over the last 4 or 5 years. There's a really strong trend that people aren't necessarily wanting to continually move further out to cheaper areas to get the big backyard and the picket fence like we used to. The next generation, the younger buyers, the first home buyers, they're moving further in. They're coming closer to the city. They're trading the big backyards for maybe a balcony or a small courtyard, and they're demanding more lifestyle features. And as you said, the other end of the scale, the retirees are not really doing the sea change or tree change. They're staying local. They want to stay close to their favourite restaurant or their dentist or doctor. They're demanding a similar type of product and a low maintenance living, but again, high features and high lifestyle amenities close by. So we need to understand that those demographic shifts are also starting to change as well.
Except you don't like living in apartments in Brisbane. It really hasn't worked as well. Sure, there's lots of new apartment towers that have been built and they've often been bought by overseas investors, but they haven't done well with regard to capital growth or owner-occupier appeal for Queenslanders.
No, and I think, it's getting back to what we spoke about before, the maturity of the market. It will happen, but it's probably another 10 or 15 years away to catch up with a Melbourne or a Sydney. So it's really important you understand the on-the-ground perspective and knowledge and at what stage different markets are at.
Okay, what about floods? A while ago, there were some challenges with certain suburbs having the floods, and that was tainting areas. What does a local know that foreigners or interstate people don't understand?
Well, that's a really good point. For us, it's probably not the flooding we need to worry about. We know where the flooding is. We steer clear of those areas. There's enough searches you can do. And I think the average person coming in might be able to spot a flooded area and do their searches and things like that quite easily. But Queensland has a lot of storms, storm season, and there's a lot of water runoff. So it's important to understand how that water tracks with the undulations and the ups and downs. So stormwater is just as important checking as flooding. That can make a considerable difference. So everyone knows about the flooding, but unless you're on that ground level, the perspectives of the lower lying areas and how the water lies and things like that is also very, very important to understand and potentially something that often gets overlooked.
Now, in other states, we understand that it's not just the suburb, but within each suburb, there are different precincts, different localities, and some, even though they've got the same postcode and even the same name, have different demographics. That's one of the things I've found that when people fly in, come along, have a look, and if particularly buyer's agents who think, oh, hey, this street is $50,000, $100,000 cheaper than one in the same postcode half a kilometre away, I've just bought a bargain. What's going on there?
Yeah, we see that all the time, don't we, with their posting that they've bought below market value and got a bargain and things like that, which is fine. But we've probably already ruled that property out, to be honest, Michael. And I guess just like in the areas where you live or the listeners live, there's a really good part of the suburb and there's maybe like an average part of the suburb or a lower lying area. We don't want to buy in those areas. To get wealth-producing levels of return, you've got to buy in the best suburbs, but then the best pockets and the best streets within those suburbs. So you have to have that on-the-ground perspective. So we also see, don't we, Michael, that many people ask, would we buy in a particular suburb? And quite often the answer may be yes, but we may only buy in 10 or 15% of that suburb. And I know there's a lot of suburbs in that inner city we don't buy because of flooding and zoning and certain other issues that just rule it out. So we've got to get in the best areas and the best parts of those areas.
Now, one of our strategies has always been to add value and buying properties with development potential. But I know that Brisbane has interesting zoning where you can't necessarily pull down an older house that in Melbourne or Sydney would be past its use-by date.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So zoning is becoming more and more critical as the, I guess, the landscape changes. So there are restrictions, heritage restrictions, where you can't remove houses. And the other thing is we need to understand that the agent's not going to tell you that, unfortunately, in most cases, Michael, when you're going to buy a development site, it's always subject to council approval. So it's important to understand that. But the other thing is to understand the zoning. The last thing you want to do is buy what you think is an investment-grade property, only discover in 5 or 10 years that you've got 200 apartments going up at your back door. So there is going to be more development and more gentrification in those inner and middle ring suburbs. So it's really important you just stick to the areas that are zoned right, that have quiet tree-lined streets with parks and reserves where young families want to live close to schools, and they're the kind of pockets that we have to look for.
So what sort of properties are you buying in Brisbane? I know you're buying for home buyers, but if we're talking about investors where we make the choice of what sort of property as opposed to the home buyer who says, hey, this is how I want to live.
Well, it's starting from the beginning, isn't it? Talking about where the jobs are being created, looking at where the good school catchments and public transports are, hiding away from those poor locations or the flooding in the areas with that, those types of issues with stormwater and zoning. And it's starting from that top-down approach. And the other thing is getting a higher level of land. So land-to-asset ratio is very, very important. We target a minimum 70 to 80%. In some cases, we've done really well, and even in some cases got close to 100. But the land's the thing that's going to grow in value and continue to grow in value. So we have to get a high proportion of land. And that's really what it comes down to at the end of the day. 80% of it is the location and the land that's going to do the heavy lifting. If we don't like grandma's shaggy carpets or pink bathroom, you know, we can change that, but unfortunately we can't change the location. So we just have to get that right.
I think that's really important. And so some people will say, well, maybe I should buy in that better suburb, the one which is a high growth suburb, but buy on a main road. And people think, or in a secondary road, and that's wrong. So it's not just the suburb, it's the right location in the suburb, because if you end up buying on the main road or in the bad area right next to the industrial area, it's not just the capital growth, it's not just the rental return. It also depends upon the sort of tenant you're going to get, the demographic of potential purchasers, even if you're never going to sell, that are going to just increase the value of your property. So you've got to have the land, but not all land's created equal.
No, you're right. And I think we get back to supply and demand with that. I always like to look at it potentially if you've got 10 buyers that want to buy a property or rent a property. If you've got a quiet tree-lined street and a great location in a good suburb, you're probably going to get most of those people wanting to buy that property if they like it. But if it's on a main road or you know, in a significantly poor area, you're probably going to lose half of that demand straight away. And we quite often see it in good times. You know, bad properties do sell, but in bad times when that supply comes down, there's just not enough demand for that particular property either to buy or to rent. And they're the ones that are getting found out during these difficult times.
If you're a visitor from overseas and came back to Brisbane, having come there a decade ago for vacation, and of course you can't come into Brisbane now, but that'll happen again soon, you wouldn't recognise it. You wouldn't recognise all the towers. You wouldn't recognise the tunnel and the growth and the maturity of the city. What do you see moving forward over the next decade if people were to come back in 2030?
Well, look, Michael, I see this as a real turning point for Brisbane. I think, you know, it's really going to mature as a state, and especially the economy, adding these types of, you know, jobs, different types of jobs and more services based to our economy is only going to make it stronger. Obviously, we rely on the tourism and mining, and that's certainly going to come back as well. But physically, you're going to see a lot of new infrastructure projects, led by the first one being the Kingston Smith upgrade between the CBD and the airport that's now almost finished. And that's a key area out towards the airport. It's going to be our fastest growing precinct in terms of growth and economic growth. There's also the Cross River Rail, which is a subway-style public transport system to our south, which is quite exciting. That's going to be taking people in and out of the CBD. And then to further southwest, there's the Brisbane Metro project. So infrastructure is going to continue to change. And the other shift and the other trend we're starting to see is because of the jobs, because of the economy, the rich are going to get richer. It's not a judge of people, but it's just a fact that the jobs, there's more high-paying jobs. People are going to have the multiple streams of income. They're going to get into the higher growth locations. And we talked about those kinds of jobs changing. It's going to change our economy. It's going to change our demographics as well. So they're the big changes I see. And I see the Brisbane economy really changing over the next 5 to 10 years as things start to play out and our market starts to mature more. So great opportunities around the corner.
It's really important to understand the demographic changes that are ahead, because it's demographics that's going to define our property markets. They're going to drive our property markets. You're going to need to own the sort of properties that are going to be in continuous strong demand by owner-occupiers. I know we as investors like to think about tenants, but really it's owner-occupiers that are going to buy similar properties near you, around you, that's going to push up the value of your properties. So clearly, the change in the nature of the people living in Brisbane and the jobs available in Brisbane, and moving from a more fluctuating, maybe tourism, hospitality-based economy to a more service-based economy, is going to bring stability to the Brisbane property market. That's good. But there's, as you said, lots of infrastructure coming up as well, and most of that's going to be in that 10K ring.
Certainly is. Yeah, absolutely. And you made a really interesting point there, a really good point, that it is the home buyers, Michael, and that's why the market's been quite strong now and we haven't seen, you know, prices drop, because, yeah, although there's issues happening on the broader economy, home buyers can still get an interest rate at 2%, and those that have stable jobs and strong jobs, you know, they're really driving that demand. And I see the home buyers driving the market, you know, over the next 5 to 10 years, and that's a really important piece to understand also.
Now, in a moment, I want to talk about a particular type of property that our team is buying and specialising in, and that's homes with development potential. But before I do, I'd like to just remind people that if they're interested in getting involved in the Brisbane property market, rather than trying to do it on your own, because the information you know from your local state doesn't translate well, and just flying in and flying out like some people do, they do it whether they're on holidays or they get local buyer's agents from other states to fly in and fly out, it's just not going to work. At Metropole, we've won 3 international awards as Australia's leading property consultants in the last 18 months alone to this year in 2020. And because we don't sell property, but we have a team of property strategists, buyer's agents, wealth advisors, financial planners, property managers, development experts, we can give you the sort of perspective, a holistic perspective, that not anyone else I can think of is able to offer at the moment. Brett, we've been doing it together for a long, long, long time now too. So if people are interested in having a chat with you, go to metropole.com.au and leave your details. There'll be a link in the show note, or give us a call on 1-300-METROPOLE. But I know there's a particular type of property that over the last years we've been specialising in, and that's properties with development and potential. And it could be renovations, but also development, because we know that we're coming to a period of lower capital growth, lower interest rates, lower wages growth. So property values aren't going to grow as strongly as they did maybe over the last decade or two. So we'd love to manufacture some capital growth. What are you looking for in those sort of properties?
Yeah, look, we've had a great deal of success. It's actually been quite incredible with those types of assets. But I guess to distinguish what you were talking about in terms of a development site, it's really important that you understand what type of development site we're talking about. We're not talking about adding units or townhouses and things like that. It's not the right time of the market to be looking at those types of opportunities. We're just talking about looking for properties that are in demand. And at the moment, they're well-located houses within 10 kilometres from Brisbane that you may be able to remove the house and pop 2 houses up. So we've had a great deal of success in those areas by understanding what is required, but also by understanding the changes to our town planning and things like that. And I know over the last 2 or 3 years, there's been a number of changes that we've able to take advantage of, where we're finding sites that have the opportunity to do that, and not even the sales agent or the seller themselves understand that the site can be developed. And that's, our clients have benefited greatly from that. But again, it's getting back to the fundamentals, the jobs, the school catchments, the public transport, the really, really good locations in the really, really good suburbs. And then there's that added layer of complexity where we have to find the right site where we can actually remove the house, we can find the sewer and the stormwater that slopes the right way, there's no sewer or stormwater issues, and you know the zoning's right. We're not going to do a development where we're going to end up with 100 units behind us. So it's really important, and that's an area we've had a great deal of success with over the last couple of years.
Interestingly, when we first started doing developments in Brisbane about 12 years ago, I was surprised how different the rules, the regulations were, the council regulations, where you can build, what you can build. And so therefore you can't just take any ideas you got from interstate. But similarly, you can't even say, hey, there's a new development two doors up, three doors up across the road and translate it to your site. Because as opposed to other states, you can't by right necessarily have sewerage and drainage and stormwater drainage. I was very surprised by all that. So you need local knowledge. And I know over the years you have worked closely together with my son, Bryce Yardney, who has been doing involved in many hundreds of developments over the years. So let's make it clear. We're not finding old blocks of land. There's none around in Brisbane at the moment. What we're doing is finding an old house close to its use-by date in a great location, because there's nothing wrong with buying the worst house and the best street. In fact, it's one of the ways a lot of people have made money. And then over time, when the timing is right, get development approval and then pull down the old place and build two new dwellings that are appropriate for the area. And that's one of the other things that's really important. How you live in Brisbane isn't how we live in Melbourne or Sydney. So you've got to have the appropriate property, not just for the state, but for the location.
Yeah, that's something. I mean, sometimes people can strike it lucky and actually get the right site, but then to understand what the final product needs to look like, it's going to be very, very different requirements to what you guys have down in Melbourne and then Sydney, but also versus Brisbane. So, you know, having that level of perspective and understanding what the demographic want is equally important.
Now that we've spoken about what's happening in the medium to long term, Brett, some people are going to wonder, well, maybe I should just wait. We'll wait till we get over that bridge. We'll wait till September's over. We'll wait till COVID's clear and the economy's picked up again. What would you say to them?
Well, I would suggest that they're probably likely going to be investors, Michael, because the home buyers aren't waiting. We're seeing a very, very strong level of demand from home buyers driven by low interest rates. You know, interest rates are going nowhere for the next 3 to 5 years. They're still in the market. It's the investors that are kind of holding off and wanting to time the market, but we all kind of know how that works out. But what we're seeing at the moment is there is less demand, but as many of most predicted, but there's also a lot less supply and it's kind of cancels it each other out. So I think over the next 2 to 3 months, until we get to a point with a bit more certainty, the market's just going to stay as it is. But once we get through that period, I really see values starting to rise in our spring selling season or early next year. And once we get through this, we'll be back to some normality. And I'm really confident that, you know, it may be Brisbane's time, that the numbers are telling the story. And finally, we may get some growth over the next 3 to 5 years as these bigger projects start to finish and the jobs start to eventuate.
Well, I know if people ring you up and want to have a chat with you, you don't rush off and buy a property straight away. We start off by putting a strategic plan together, understanding where they are, what their finance capacity is, what ownership structure they should use, what their risk profile is, what their cash flow surplus or not is. So all that takes a bit of time. So even if you want to leave it until things are a bit clearer, but I agree with you, that's not necessarily a good idea, it actually takes time. And now just to get finance seems to take longer than ever also. So maybe it's a good time to have a chat with Brett Warren and his team, 1300 Metropole, or go to metropole.com.au. And even though you are a national director of the company, you're still seeing clients face-to-face, well, actually it's by Zoom nowadays, personally, and giving strategic advice, Brett.
Yeah, I'm a bit like yourself, Mike. I really enjoy spending time and helping our clients, spot opportunities and work through their structures. It's, you know, we're not order takers. It's not just about buying a property. It's about taking that step back and getting things set up before we kind of move forward. And I really enjoy that part of the process.
Well, thanks for having a chat about the Brisbane property market. And since I know you also look after our buyers agents team in Melbourne and Sydney, we'll catch up again real soon and we'll talk about what's happening in other parts of Australia. Thanks for your time, Brett.
That'd be excellent. Thanks, Michael.
Now here's Michael's mindset message. Remember, a change in your thinking will lead to a change in your life.
In today's mindset moment, I'd like to talk about seven things you can't control. Now, this came from a blog I read recently, and I'll give you the list that the blogger came up with, and I'll give you some of my thoughts. But currently, a lot of people are feeling stressed, they're feeling worried, they're feeling nervous, because there's lots of things out of their control that are going a little bit haywire, aren't they? And I'm sure you've heard it said that it's better to control the things you can control, worry about the things you can control, and don't spend too much time worrying about things that are out of your control, because you can't do anything about them anyway, can you? Well, with that in mind, let's have a look at this list of seven things you can't control that I just recently read, and I'll give you some thoughts. The first one was time, and I guess that's interesting. You can't control time, and I guess one day you're going to wake up and realize there just isn't enough of it left. So I guess my suggestion is don't waste your energy and time on things that are not worthwhile, that are not going to get you to where you want to go, or on forced interactions with people that you don't like. Be selective what you do with time, because you can regain your money, but you can't regain your time. The other thing on this list of seven things that I just recently read was other people's reactions. You can't control other people's reactions. And they're right there. I guess my thought would be never trade your own authenticity for approval of other people. Try to make everybody happy. Well, that's a soul-draining exercise. It's going to leave you feeling empty. So instead, invest your energy and your time, like we said in point one, in people who do matter to you. The third thing on this list of seven things you can't control is being richer than somebody else. I guess the author was saying something along the lines of, you're never going to be satisfied if you've got more money, because money on its own is worthless. So you can't control how much richer or less rich you are than other people. Having money is only valuable because it can help you get something you want. Money is meant to be exchanged. So use it to connect with people, invest in experiences that you're going to enjoy. Of course, you've heard me say before that true wealth has nothing to do with money. You need your health, you need time, you need people around you to love you and appreciate you and somebody for you to love. You need to be able to grow, you need to be able to give back to the community. So, no, you can't control your wealth compared to other people. And by the way, don't compare yourself with other people, because the things you see on Instagram and Facebook aren't real. You're seeing the show reels like they do in the movies, not the, all the bits on the cutting room floor. Fourth thing you can't control, this list said, was you can't expect there to be a day when those who've hurt you suddenly show up and apologize. Now, that's a good one, because I know a lot of us do hold on to anger, but all it does is it prolongs your own pain, it prolongs your own unhappiness. So learn to forgive, because you deserve the peace, not them. Just leave them alone and move on. The fifth thing you can't control is overthinking, because sometimes when you do think too much, you can create problems that aren't even there. So that was on this blogger's list of things you can't control. I think you should control it. You shouldn't be overthinking. Focus your imagination on things that are brilliant, that make you feel good, not on all the problems and the challenges that are there. But I do agree that the sixth thing on his list, the world around you, you can't control that. Now, I know when I was young, I wanted to change the world. I had all these ideas and ambitions. And then I realized the world changed when I did. And the last of the seven things on this list of things you can't control is your past. You can't restart the next chapter of your life if you keep reading the last old one. No matter how dirty your past is, your future is spotless. So thank your past for all the lessons it's given you, acknowledge how it strengthened you, and then move on with your life. So there you go. Seven things you can't control, so don't worry about them and move on. Take control of the things that are under your influence. Thanks for spending the time with Brett and me today. I hope you got more insights into the differences in the Brisbane property market, and also a bit about what you can't control and what you should let go of. Now, if you got some benefit from today's show, please help me in my quest to make more people financially successful, more financially literate, and better property investors by passing the message on. Either use the share button on your podcast app or leave a review on whichever podcast player you listen to. I'll be back twice a week with the Michael Yardney podcast. In between, you can catch up with me on social media or daily through my property update newsletter. In the meantime, have a great week. Make it a great week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Michael Yardney podcast, which was brought to you by Metropole, who help their clients grow, protect, and pass on their wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. If you like what you heard and don't already subscribe, you'll find us on iTunes or on your favorite Android app as the Michael Yardney podcast. Watch out for our next show, which comes to you twice a week, and you'll learn some new ideas about property investment, success, and money in around 30 minutes. To get more of Michael's thoughts, go across to www.propertyupdate.com.au and sign up for his daily morning briefing, and you'll hear from not only Michael, but a group of leading property success and money experts. And just a reminder that the information you heard in this show today is general educational advice and not specific investment advice, as we don't know your personal circumstances. If you're looking for specific advice, why not ask the team at Metropole to help you?